Welcome to Publish. Today, I'll be speaking with Anne Shibani and Walt Hampton about launching a mastermind group.
Welcome to Publish, a podcast by Greenleaf Book Group, where we'll discuss the ins and outs of the publishing industry, from writing a book and finding the right publisher, to gearing up for a book launch. And now, here's your host, Greenleaf Book Group CEO, Tanya Hall.
Welcome to another episode of Published. We have a great show today full of very helpful advice if you've ever considered launching your own mastermind group. For those of you who don't know what on earth a mastermind group is, it's really a group of like-minded individuals who are working with a coach or a facilitator to achieve a goal, whether that's writing a book or launching a business. They're usually paying a fee for the access to this facilitator, and the group creates a bit of community and accountability. So another way to create an income stream for you as a thought leader. But before we get started on that, a quick announcement. I'm so happy to announce that my book, Ideas, Influence, and Income, is officially available. It has definitely been a labor of love, and I hope that any of you who are interested in becoming stronger thought leaders and monetizing your ideas will enjoy it. For more information about that, check out ideasinfluenceandincome.com. Now on to our interview. Last month, we talked about how to build an online course as a stream of income for your ideas. And this month, we're going to up the ante a little and talk about these mastermind groups that I mentioned a bit earlier. We will answer some questions like, how do I know if I'm ready to launch a mastermind? How do I promote the group? What kind of time commitment does it look like to run a mastermind? Joining me today are Anne Shibani and Walt Hampton, who run the Summit Mastermind for Entrepreneurs. Anne is a book writing coach, while Walt is a performance coach. So together, they help support entrepreneurs build their businesses and lead the lifestyles that they want to lead. They have several years of experience running this mastermind group, and today they're here to tell us about how they got started. So let's get into the interview. All right, Anne and Walt, welcome to Published.
Well, thank you so much. We're so happy to be with you today.
We're just going to do our best not to talk over each other because we're both kind of enthusiastic.
No, I love it, and that's totally fine. So today we're going to talk about mastermind groups, which is an area that a lot of our authors slash thought leaders are interested in exploring as a way to further monetize their ideas and really kind of nurture a community. So I'd love for us to start by you each telling us a bit about what you do and how you came to start your mastermind group or groups.
Sure. So let me go first because I'm aggressive. So again, my name is Anne Shibani and I am a content developer. I help mostly entrepreneurs write client attracting books. So what you're talking about is right up my alley, because when I'm guiding people through the whole book writing process, we're looking at the outcome thereafter. We're looking at how do we use this book to monetize, not just, you know, how do we make money from the book, but how do we have the book lead our potential clients into other products and services that we sell. So, like Greenleaf, we have to be really, really clear on the business model. We have to know who their target market is. We have to know what the big result is they sell. So a lot of that is business foundation, where Walt has an area of expertise.
So I'm an executive coach and consultant, and I help coaches, speakers, writers, business professionals, and entrepreneurs get clients and make money. And as Anne suggests, where that begins is with establishing a really clear business foundation and a business model that's actually generating revenue. One of the things that a lot of folks want to do is they want to go out and write a book. And of course, Anne and I have written books, and we have a lot of clients who have written books. But the book by itself, without a solid business structure to go with it, without a solid platform to go with it, is really not the way to go. And so I work with Anne and her clients as they create and get these powerful client attracting books out in the world to actually have something to attract the clients to.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And you are just singing in the same choir as Greenleaf here.
Yeah, we have, you know, it's great to have a conversation because you guys are doing the exact same thing.
And get it. I mean, yeah, a lot of houses, a lot of frankly, a lot of people who are churning out business books don't get it. They're just they're actually preying on the shiny object of the book, and the book is part of an overall platform, and it's critically important to get all of those components dialed in.
Yeah, which is one of the reasons we love Greenleaf and why we're constantly touting what you guys are doing out in the world, because we share the same value system. Do not pump junk out there simply to have a book to your name. You know, have a strategy, have it look beautiful, have it be powerful and meaningful and serve to, you know, solve a very particular problem, which, you know, which is what you guys are doing.
Well, thank you so much for saying that. And now I've written my own book, of course, and I've come to realize that I think there's a bit of false logic that an author can fall into, because writing a book is so hard and takes so much time and just mental effort and persistence that there's almost an expectation at the end of it that it's going to bring you big things because it was so hard. But as you said, it's not enough to have the book in and of itself. So this, what you're talking about today, is a very important area for any thought leader to explore. And obviously a big subject to tackle and something that's new to many people. And that can be overwhelming as far as figuring out which path to go and some of the other stuff we'll talk about around pricing models and so forth. So how did you guys start to research this? What sort of resources can you consult, or did you speak with your friends, or how did you go about getting started? That's often the hardest part.
Getting started as entrepreneurs and
or
as
creating
a business,
a mastermind, I think it's more specifically.
Yes, specifically the mastermind area.
Well, that's a very interesting question. Ann and I are long distance runners. We're ultra distance marathoners. And so we often go out on a Saturday for long, long runs, like, you know, 20, 24 miles. And one late fall day, we were talking about an annual offering that we were going to be doing, which we had done in the past, a webinar on how to create your next year as your best year. And out of that webinar, we had sold a 6-week program that would help people create business foundations for the year ahead. And, you know, to pull the curtain back, we had frankly got a little weary of doing that program. And we said, you know, what else could we do? And we're part of mastermind communities. We believe that good coaches have coaches. We have coaches. We belong to communities. And we looked at each other and said, why not a mastermind community? And so over about 6 or 7 miles, we came up with the idea of what became the Summit Mastermind.
So I'm going to dial it back just a little bit in time. The first time we had ever heard of masterminds, we'd been at a Brendon Burchard conference, and he was talking about different business models. He was talking about different business offerings. And he had said something like, hey, by the time you guys leave here, you should form a mastermind group with, you know, some of the people in the audience that you really like. And so, of course, I thought, well, what a great idea. I'd met some really interesting chicks. And I said, hey, let's form a mastermind group. It was going to be free. We were going to meet once a week. And we didn't have a real idea of how to go about doing it. So over the course of a year, I learned a couple things. If you don't pay to play, if you have one leader assigned to running the show, that leader gets kind of tired of doing it. It falls off, you know, off the wayside. And if you don't have the members investing, if they're not, they don't have skin in the game, they kind of lose interest, or they treat it, you know, as a possibility on the calendar. And the thing basically petered out. So when we talked about running a mastermind, we were looking at the groups that we had been in, how it was done, what they did well, and what they didn't do so well. And we were basically telling what kind of people we wanted to have in the group. In the beginning, I think we were a little hazy about what specific result those folks were going to get. But we knew that it was for entrepreneurs. They were at the beginning of their entrepreneurial, you know, endeavors. And that we had a lot to offer them because we were experts. You know, we were coaches in the Book Yourself Solid model and other business building models. And we thought, you know, hey, let's create the pay to play which would be a great income stream for us. And let's really learn how to do this well and serve people well. And we've had people in our mastermind 2-3 years now. They don't go away. We've got really low attrition. And it's because we're constantly serving. We're constantly engaged with the group. And I don't know. I'm taking it over. Well, I think you have things to say.
No, I think what Anna shared is absolutely correct. You know, we felt our way into this process, having experienced good groups and not so good groups. And we took the best ingredients that we could and brought them together. And as Anne said, over the last 3 years, from an industry-wide standpoint, our attrition has been very, very low. And we've had wonderful engagement. And we've seen the community create amazing results, businesses from zero to six figures. And so we're very proud of the community.
That's great. So it's obviously serving its purpose. And as you looked at the audience you serve, were there certain metrics? I mean, obviously, you're both business people. You must have approached this from a business angle, even though you said you felt your way into it. But were there certain metrics you looked at to know that it was worth launching, whether that's the number of people you were coaching or the people who met the qualifications that you've identified in terms of being willing to pay and at the beginning of their entrepreneurial journey? Or how did you assess?
So let's back up a step. It's a wonderful question, but it assumes a fact we haven't talked about.
Oh, there's the lawyer. Okay, there's the lawyer.
So I tell our clients repeatedly, we preach this in the Summit Mastermind, we talk to our private coaching clients about this, that if you do not have a list, you do not have a business. Mm-hmm. And this is of extraordinary importance for authors, but it is of equal importance whether you're writing a book or not, entrepreneurs, business consultants across the spectrum. And so everybody wants, you know, to have a successful book launch and sell lots of books. Everybody wants to sell one to many. You know, that's the golden promise of quote passive income. One to many. Well, the secret is in the last word, many. You actually have to have many in order to sell to many, and that means you need to have a list, and not just a list, which is an amorphous term, but a group of people who are your raving fans. One of the things that we rail against are all of these quick lead gen services out in the world. If you do this, you'll add 1,000 people a day to your list or whatever garbage is going on out there. The truth is a list is a group of people. They're a group of people that have expressed interest in you. They've expressed interest in the work you do in the world. They've expressed interest in what you stand for. So the first step in building a business, building a platform going forward with respect to a book, is to consider how you're going to go out in the world and build a group of raving fans, your tribe, and then how to serve them, how to nurture them over time, how to contribute to their lives, of course, to make offers over time. But the list is the most important thing. And so there are industry-wide metrics. You know, if you have, for example, cold traffic, and you know you're doing a webinar for 100 people, you're going to convert 1%. It's, you know, I can guarantee that if you go out today and do a webinar as a start-off entrepreneur, and you get 100 people on your webinar, and you look at your dashboard when you open it up, you're going to see about 30 to 35% of those people live. And then you're going to convert 1 to 3% of the people who are actually on there, for a total conversion of one. And so we had an entrepreneur who was, she was so invested in selling one to many, and she had an amazing program. And in fact, to her credit, she has stayed the course over the years, and she's become extraordinarily successful. But I remember her very first webinar. She was thrilled. She had 100 people signed up. And when she showed up on our next coaching call, she was bereft. She had sold one product. And that was a home run. So if you want to sell more, you have to have a bigger list. If you want to have a bigger impact, a bigger influence, make more money, you have to have a bigger list. And when you have a critical mass to a list, and I would suggest that critical mass is somewhere between 500 and 1,000 people on your list, then you have the traction to go out into the world and begin to launch one to many. And Ann and I, at the time that we launched the Summit Mastermind, had probably about 5,000 people
on our combined list, which are people that we communicated with regularly, be it through newsletters or they had been people who had attended webinars that we had given. So we were keeping in touch to some degree or another pretty consistently for a number of years.
And so we knew that this was a list that would be open to hearing about this amazing opportunity called the Summit Mastermind.
So I'm going to be super simplistic because I like to bring it down for people who are listening to, I don't have 5,000 people. I don't even really know what a list is. So it's to put together something like a mastermind, which, as Walt said, is a group program of sorts. It might be like group coaching, or it might be like filling a workshop or filling a, you know, a classroom. It means that you have to bring people in together. You got to have, I would call it like butts in a seat. And you start that. First, you start out with an idea. What does everybody have in common? What kind of result do they want? Like if you put together a mastermind for writers, well, what do they want to accomplish? Then the second thing you start asking yourself is, where am I going to find those people? And how am I going to develop a relationship? And how am I going to let them know, hey, you know, come on in over here. I've got this little program that we're going to work. And for such and such an amount, you know, of an investment, you join the club. And you're getting one person here and one person there. And that's how you begin to build out a group program. And it's also how you begin to grow out a list where you can make offers to people that you're not meeting face to face. You might be meeting them online through a webinar or a teleseminar. So the idea is, how do you begin to gather people that have something in common that you can teach to or help?
Mm-hmm. And once you have that list and you decide it's time to pull the trigger, I imagine that coming up with the pricing structure can be challenging for people who don't really know where to start, and you don't want to, you know, launch it with one price and then walk it back and do something else. So how can you walk us through that model and how you landed on what you decided to charge?
Sure.
So pricing is always an issue, and people use the term pricing. I had this conversation with a coaching client yesterday. He said, how should I price my offering? And it's the wrong question to ask in the first instance. The question to ask in the first instance is, what is the problem that I'm solving by virtue of this program? And what are the concomitant benefits that I'm delivering as a result of the big outcome that I'm promising? And by that, I mean that, you know, most entrepreneurs will come to our group to get clients and make money, to establish viable, prosperous businesses. And so that's the promise. If you work with us, you will get clients and you will make money and you will have a sustainable, scalable business. But if you have a sustainable, scalable business, you also have a lot of other things. You can perhaps quit an unhappy day job. You can go out on the road with your book. You can be more generous with those you care about. You can send your kids to better schools. You can go off on a holiday.
Perhaps you can sleep at night.
You can sleep. You have a lot. There are a lot of benefits, and not only benefits that are just directly related to the business, but, you know, maybe as a result of having, you know, a six-figure income now that is somewhat generated in part passively, you know, maybe you can take more time for your health and your wellness. Maybe you can take some more time for meditation and Pilates and yoga. So there are financial, emotional, physical, spiritual benefits that come as a result of the product or program or service you provide. And then not only in that moment that you deliver the big result or over the months or years that you deliver that result, but the impact potentially can go out for decades. You know, it can impact your children, your children's children, your community by virtue of what you're able to do for the community. And so connecting with the value that you deliver, the value that you deliver, and the benefits that you serve up as a result of the work you do in the world is the place to begin with the concept of price.
So there are a couple of different models when you are pricing. When we put together the Summit Mastermind, it was on a whim to some degree. And we thought, all right, we're going to make an offer. What would be a no-brainer? What would be something where people would understand the value? And they would say, oh my God, yes, that, like, you'd be crazy not to buy into that. And so when we got a huge inrush of members, they were thinking it's a no-brainer. And as we went along, we realized that we were giving so much value, they were getting so much value, that when we were going to bring new members in, we were going to raise the price. One of the things that, you know, we were going to raise the price for new people coming in. And so our business model was, we're going to keep people, you know, at the price that they come in, you know, to all eternity. New people were going to come in at their own rate, and we would begin raising the price. So the no-brainer model is one model. There are a lot of people who decide, you know, they've got a name in the industry, or they have a really big result that they give to very specific people. They might decide that they're going to be the concierge. They're going to be the Four Seasons, and they're going to have a price tag associated with it. And they're very confident in who they are and what they deliver. They speak very clearly about the big result to a very specific target market. And they make that decision that they're going to invest their time, money, and effort in creating a group that is going to pay big money. We know lots of people who do it. It's you know, one of the things that we have on our radar to layer in different layers of service within our mastermind group.
I think that last point is an important point for your listeners to take in, which is to say that, I guess maybe it was Dan Kennedy who first came up with the Ascension model. You know, if you have a one-to-many offering that is very low contact with the person, maybe there's one call a month or it's almost entirely online, the price point might be quite low. Whereas at the top of the pyramid, your most exclusive one-to-many might be a Platinum Partners program where people are paying $30,000 a year and there are, you know, 10 or 12 people in that group. And that has a lot more one-on-one personal attention, concierge attention, as Anne would say, from the principal. So part of it is the amount of access to the person who is delivering the group program that would impact pricing. Does all that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That's highly logical, actually. And in terms of then promoting it, obviously, just like a book or any other product launch, that's key to getting it off the ground successfully. So can you tell us a bit about how you went about promoting the launch of this mastermind group?
Sure.
Yes, in the first instance, we had rolled out the previous program by virtue of a webinar, a free webinar. And we have done that in subsequent offerings. We open the Summit Mastermind twice a year to new members. We are protective of this community because it is such an engaged and engaging community. So we just don't open the floodgates, as it were, but we open it twice a year, and we've done it in two ways. One has been by webinar, which we did initially. And webinar still, you know, if you're good at webinars, webinar is still a great way to launch a one-to-many program. I used for a one-to-many mastermind program for lawyers, as Ann alluded to, that's my background. So I do serve a lot of lawyers, and we put together a one-to-many program servicing lawyers, and we built the entire list from zero to well over 1,000 over a period of months, doing just a series of free webinars. And then off the last of the series, made the offer to the one-to-many program and filled it. We did that with the Summit Mastermind. We had a end-of-the-year webinar, and then we made the offer off the back of the webinar. We've also done it with a traditional product launch where we deliver a series of three videos of high value around business formation, marketing, selling, and business development or planning. We've done them in a number of different ways, and we're probably going to use that modality when we open the doors at the end of Q2. So a traditional product launch is an excellent way of offering a one-to-many program as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And anything to add to that?
I'm just thinking it's a little bit of a trial and error thing. Some masterminds are better formed or better marketed or better, you know, offered out of a webinar. It is an intense hour, and people get a real sense of who you are and what you're offering, and they're ready at that point to commit and invest in that kind of group. And some, you know, sometimes I think the higher price tag associated with your mastermind group, the more the wiser you are to give people a real sense of you through three videos and then a sales video after, and give them the opportunity to ask questions and that kind of thing. So I think you have to play a little bit with what is the most effective way to bring people in, because there are multiple ways to do that.
And what Ann, she said something really critical there that I just want to flag. There are only two reasons that people do not buy your product, your program, your service, whatever you're offering. There are only two reasons. Number one is the potential client's not ready, and we can't do anything about that. Number two, a potential client only buys in proportion to the amount of trust and credibility that you have developed with that potential client, usually over a period of time. And that time varies from person to person. So going back to the list discussion we had, having a list, even if you're creating a launch list, it's important to nurture and to add value and to develop relationship with that list. And as Ann suggests, oftentimes, if it's a higher ticket item going through some type of product launch where people are connecting with you on video, you're really giving a lot of good content and value over the course of that is the better way to go. But the teaching principle is that whatever modality it is, you need to develop the trust and credibility, the relationship with that potential client if they're going to take you up on your offer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. And speaking of time, as our listeners are weighing mastermind groups against public speaking and all the other ways they have to monetize their content, What type of time commitment is this to do a mastermind group? Can you kind of give us a general feel for what this requires from you?
Yeah.
So Ann and I belong to a very high, we believe that good coaches have coaches, and we walk our talk because we think that's in integrity. And so we belong to a very high level mastermind group. And frankly, sometimes we get to the end of the week and we're exhausted with the amount of time that we as consumers have had to invest in that, because there's a lot of
a lot of things to learn,
a lot of content to consume. At the other end of the spectrum, and I think we've alluded to this, you know, it can be what you want it to be. At the other end of the spectrum might be a mastermind group where there is one call a week or two calls a month, or it might be a call a month plus online resources, or it could be a Q&A a month with online resources. You know, the great thing about being an entrepreneur is that it's creative, it's iterative. We get to make this stuff up, and knowing your people, that's the most important way to decide what the value is that you want to deliver. And it's always about what's in service to my people, what best serves my people. Our Summit Mastermind that we're very proud of and has been effective and I think people love, we have a treasure trove of digital resources, a huge digital library, but we do two live and interactive coaching calls each month. We bring a business development transformation topic. We open it up for Q&A. We do quarterly hot seats where some of our members come and they're coached live and interactively by Ann and by me on their plan for the next quarter ahead. We have
a Facebook group that
yes.
people are extremely active in. So we are in our Facebook group every single day. People will post things. They'll have questions. And we're in there answering. We're in there starting up the conversation because, you know, a lot of us have been in Facebook groups where nothing happens. There's no interaction. It's just dead air. Or we've been in Facebook groups where, you know, the person that's created that, the leaders of that, they're active in the beginning and then they peter out because it's a time commitment.
Mm-hmm. And we have a team member that we call the Guardian of the Galaxy. and her job is to be a third set of eyes for us. We really care about this community. And so, you know, part of her job is to keep an eye out for who might have gone quiet, who might have gone missing from the community, who's not showing up on the calls. And we'll do direct outreach to these people and we'll get them on the phone, because oftentimes when entrepreneurs go quiet, when they go off the radar, it's because they're afraid
yeah.
or confused or both, and they don't know what to do next. And we are driven to see that our clients survive and thrive and make a lot of money.
Yeah, and a social media group, it can be a key asset, or it can be how you drain your people out of your group, how you lose them.
Mm-hmm. Well, we certainly don't want that. So I guess in closing, anything you would like to add to this conversation for those who are considering a mastermind group, maybe how they should assess whether the specific value that comes from this group would be of service to their audience?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you made an important list there, you know, in terms of where we allocate our time. And, you know, is it speaking? Is it a product or a program? Is it a mastermind? I would say you have to decide where the thing is that you love to do. If it's not something you love to do, if it's not something that feels in integrity with who you are and how you like to be in the world, don't do it. You know, some people naturally express themselves as writers. Some people naturally express themselves as speakers. Some people are naturally teachers and enjoy the online environment. So I would be drawn less. I would recommend that somebody be drawn less by, you know, what's a really good marketing thing to do, and begin to by saying, you know, what feels right? How do I want to connect with my people? How do I want to serve my tribe? What feels like the right way for me? And start from there, because there are lots of good ways to go about this stuff in the world.
So here's what I would add. I think most of the people that you're talking about, the people who are writing books with Greenleaf, they already know who they serve, because before they sat down to write the book, they decided they know who their target market is. They know their big wants and needs. They know the big result that they're selling. So a lot of the guesswork about, you know, what everyone would have in common and why they would want to come together has already been taken care of by making those decisions with you guys in the book writing process. So, you know, that caveat is off the table. This would be perfectly appropriate for any of your authors who've gotten clear on that. One of the things that I love about mastermind groups is it gives you enormous flexibility. You're not going over hill and dale for speaking engagements. You're not jumping on an airplane. You can do it in your jammies. And there are so many ways you can put this puppy together. You can create a tiered system. You can have events that bring people together. You can create what it is you want, because there's no one right method for a mastermind group. So I love the online capabilities, because we're running mastermind calls when we're in Baja, Mexico. Right now, when you're interviewing us, we're in our home in County Cork, Ireland. So that online stuff, it makes this a really doable way to serve a lot of people and to make money.
Awesome. Well, Ann and Walt, thank you so much for taking the time to share all of this with our audience. It's been very interesting, and I really enjoyed having you as a guest on the show.
Perfect. Thank you for having us.
We've so enjoyed the opportunity and the privilege to be with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. For notes from today's show, visit greenleafbookgroup.com/episode21. And a big thank you to Ann and Walt for joining us.
Thanks for listening to Published. To learn more, please visit greenleafbookgroup.com. And remember to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes.